tonight on 8 Out of 10 Cats Christmas Special. 'Tis the season to be Holly. It's Holly Willoughby. Once in Royal Davis City, it's Alan Davis. And their team captain, John Richardson. And facing them tonight, hark the Henning Angels sing. It's Henning Vane. You better watch out. It's Roisin Conaty. And their team captain, Sean Luck, with special guests, Nick Helm, Joe Wilkinson, and telling us what they really think, the Goggleboxers, Stephanie and Dominic, the Michael family, Linda, George, and Pete, and the Tapper family. Now, welcome your host, Jimmy Cobb.
Hello, and welcome to the 8 out of 10 Cats Christmas Special, a show all about opinion poll surveys and Christmas. Did you know, for example, women spend an average of 49 hours planning how they'll look on Christmas Day? What, overheated, drunk and crying? Over Christmas, 90% of British families put up a Christmas tree and 10% put down a dog. And 30% of office workers admit to seeing a colleague engaged in a romantic activity at a Christmas party. That is, if you consider photocopying your boobs a romantic activity. Which I do, so keep sending them in. Right, let's get started. What are you talking about? That's the name of our first round. Tonight, it's our panellists' job to guess the British public's top three favourite things about the festive season. Sean Steen, what do you think people like about the festive season?
Presents, Christmas presents. People like Christmas presents,
don't they? What are you hoping for?
Well, I was quite disappointed last year, cos my family got me psychiatric gift vouchers. They all clubbed together. And I was disappointed, cos I'd asked for a crossbow. But on a lighter note, I like something decent. I've got a rule in my house. If I don't like what I'm given, I turn off the central heating. Puts a little bit of pressure on the family, but it's a good compromise from the old method, which was the trapdoor. Before someone gave me a present, they had to stand on a trapdoor. And, you know, if I didn't like it...
It's a proper game show, and then you've got manure under their door, and then they're drowning in a manure, and then you say, not good enough.
Yeah.
And the worst people are the ones that are actually looking forward to Christmas, aren't they? Because they've got... They're so fixated in their head on how they want Christmas to pan out. And now, I remember donkeys ago, my mother always took it on herself to decorate the living room for Christmas. So then my father and I, we had to leave the living room, so she locked the door after her, and then my father and I played a game of chess. Then after a while, she was done, so we followed then into the living room, saw it and were not quite as overawed as she had hoped for. And then she was livid, stormed off into the bedroom, came back with a plastic bag full of all the presents and tipped them on in front of the Christmas tree. So I went into my room, got my bag and tipped it on top of it.
Is that why you moved to England?
What are you hoping for?
My mum gets me good gifts, but she buys in bulk. So if I ask for a particular mascara, she'll buy enough to last me the year, but she wraps them all individually. So I unwrap one and go, oh, thanks, Mum. She goes, well, if you like that, you're going to love this. And then I have to go through unwrapping the same present relentlessly.
It's a good thing she doesn't get you M&Ms. You'd be there for days.
In a way, I did that with my father once. I bought him a Christmas present.
Settle in, everyone. And he's got a story.
Well, I know I'm not overly qualified at telling stories, but I give it a good old try. So, what was I talking about?
Your dad's Christmas present for your dad.
Yes! Yes!
That one. Go on, tell it.
No, yeah, I will. Don't hassle me, so... I don't want to rush through it and then miss important details. So, my father... or, as I like to call him, mein Vater...
I'll interrupt you again.
He's dead now.
But I don't think you're going to top that.
No. I bought him the book What was it called? Der unheilige Krieg, the unholy war, about civil war in Lebanon. So I
oh, of course you did, yeah. Merry Christmas.
He opened the Christmas book. And so he opened the book. So, oh, yeah, very interesting. So, and then I knew for a fact he hadn't read it over the course of the year. So next Christmas, he obviously gets the same book again. No, you were right initially. We should have ended a lot earlier, shouldn't we?
John, what, are you excited about presents?
Well, Henning and I were chatting earlier. I'm shit at buying presents, and every year some paper will do a big, oh, we've got the 10 must-have gigs this Christmas. If you want to buy something for your mum, have you thought about a scented candle? They go, yeah, obvious I thought about a scented candle. I'm not going to buy her one because they're crap.
Are you brave enough to buy lady clothes or underwear?
I have had an experience in the past where I went through the humiliating experience of buying knickers for a lady who broke up with me the day after Christmas, and those knickers, well, I didn't get the benefit. So, this is not a voice that can ask for... I don't suavely go into a shop and, hey, I got a lady looking for some pennies. I go in quite well. Everybody looks when you go, did you, like boxer shorts, but thin, wispy things to cover a butterfly? Well, whatever you call it.
It's difficult, though, buying lingerie. I think that's, it's like people...
Because you don't know the size.
I've guessed the size.
Just open her drawer and find out the day before.
Well, yeah, just have a route through a knicker drawer, be in all kinds of trouble.
But what about if you don't know where she lives? How do you find out?
Yeah, particularly.
John, if it's Christmas, I got you a little Christmas present.
That's nice.
I got you that. I thought you'd like it.
Oh, you've written my name on it as well. You've remembered I don't have an H in it. It's more than most of my family do.
Nice. It's a remote control mop because I know you like being tidy. So if you just put that, if you just put that on the top there, and then I've got the remotes on. So just the one on the left.
That's amazing.
You can clean around the place. Oh! That'll be fine. That'll be fine. Don't worry about that.
Put it on the circle. Put it on the circle.
Put it in the middle. Perfect. You could just have a little sit on the couch, have a tidy. I got you another present.
It's nice to have
you always love mopping stuff. You are in luck, my friend. You are in luck. I've got you the greatest gift a man could ever get.
That mop makes the same noise I do. Holy shit.
They're mop slippers, so if you want to put those on, you can have a little... Oh,
God.
An amazing present.
Have the cleanest house, if only I had guests.
I wish those slippers were remote control and we could just whiz you round the side.
We'll find out in a minute.
Oh, no, they go different ways!
Oh, I've got them, haven't I?
That's the ones you walk round the kitchen in,
yeah.
Like Nutter.
Yeah, you go... All, you polish your... Yeah, I do tap dancing in them.
Pretty cool. Most there's people a, just a... shove their foot at the end of a dog and roll it around up the floor.
That is a nice little... Pretty
I've been
cool.
With these for years.
Holly Willoughby.
Do I have one too?
Got your lovely present.
Thank you.
There you go. Oh,
thank you very
much. Lovely present for a lady.
Can I open it now?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, sure.
So this is a handbag.
It's a handbag. No, you don't. You don't open it like that. I've got a wine. No, don't. Hang on. I'll get you a glass. There you go. Perfect. You just pop that there.
And then you just. Bit of a giveaway.
That's the best present ever.
And you can just. That's got two pints of very cheap wine. Look at that.
I'm made up.
Oh, Linda!
Oh,
what have you just
I want one of them.
I love a bit of that.
Oh, oh, that's what I want.
It's
a bag. It's a bag of drink.
Oh, it's my handbag.
It's the Versace wine bag.
Bloody, I've got, yeah, I've
the
got
wine
that.
Box.
Got that.
Alan, I got you this. Hope you like it.
Yeah. Not a very good receiver.
You're not a very good receiver?
I feel very negative. As soon as I see it coming, I'm like, oh, no, don't get it. I want anything. Well, what have you got me? Oh, I'm like that. So I'm not disappointed. Jelly baby.
Oh. It's a gummy bear.
What's that all about? You're taking a piss. What's that?
Apparently, you're not a very good receiver. We're willing to test that out.
You've got another one. Go, if you don't like that one, we've got
quite heavy.
One.
That's quite heavy. It's a larger one, look.
Wow. Versions of things like that make me feel a bit ill.
Imagine how hungover.
It looks delicious. Feel free to take a bite. Maybe bite his nose off.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's like watching a lion. That was like something from Silence of the Lambs. Machine. Oh, got you that. Got you a little present.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
No problem at all. Happy to help. Hope you like it. I've got you a couple of things.
What have you got me?
Well, you know, sometimes there isn't mistletoe around when you want mistletoe.
Yeah. Hello. That's not threatening to anyone at all, is it? What's this bit?
That's a personalised calendar I had made for you.
Oh my God, you really have. Smoking quantity. Written all over it.
December's my favourite. Go December. December's, okay. December's worth checking out.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Nice.
Is that you, Sean?
Yeah, I wear the apron round the other way. I love all hot fat all up my front.
Annie, how long have you been living in the UK?
Since 2002.
So you've been here a long time. I consider you to be sort of English now,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So I got you this. Look at that.
Thank
Congratulations.
You very much.
Welcome.
Delightful. It's getting better.
Yes.
When England win the World Cup. There I will be in Trafalgar Square shouting with the best of them.
Yeah. Also, I got you a little additional gift as well.
Well, let me.
I think
put
any Englishman would be happy
first.
With that.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Six. Oh, yeah. Should I?
Two World Wars and one World Cup.
He's one of us.
The World at War, the Ultimate Restored Edition. But is that the one we win? Yeah.
We like the start.
Yeah.
The ending.
Sean, a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned onesies on the show, and you didn't have a onesie because you couldn't decide what animal best sort of summed you up.
Yeah.
So... we got you this. I think I've nailed it.
Thanks for ruining the surprise. Oh. So let's see what animal I could possibly be.
Pop him on.
That is amazing.
Aww. He's not real.
There's a clue.
You're a female kangaroo, Sean.
A kangarella.
All the presents are very well wrapped.
Well, it took me all afternoon.
I thought so.
I get real pleasure out of ripping it apart at the sides, so you can get it into the recycling and doesn't take up quite as much space.
It's incredible what difference a onesie makes, isn't it?
I think it's really softened you.
It's very good for robberies, isn't it?
Hey, you look a right plonker.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
I'm wearing the local outfit. You're on the wrong continent here.
Oh, that fits in there.
If you had to get something from the fridge at home, you're wearing that relaxing on Christmas Day, you presumably you would hop.
I see. What, you want me to hop with it?
Well, in an ideal world, that would be my best thing ever.
Please hop.
What do you think would be funny?
I think you've got the wrong animal. I think I've proved my point. It's impossible to find an animal which I am comfortable inhabiting.
I think you'd be a tortoise. Because tortoises look a little grumpy sometimes.
A tortoise? We think a tortoise would be really good for you.
What tortoise-like qualities do I possess?
Your mouth's a tortoise shape. Like,
you
if you
are
make a
tortoise.
Salad, I bet you look like a tortoise.
I feel like I've been compromised in my bedroom and everyone's seen me take off my pyjamas. Oh, I had a real chill then. I actually felt vulnerable for a second.
I think you should show that vulnerability. I think it's adorable.
Shit presents, Jimmy.
Well, you've ruined Christmas. Let's have a look and see if Christmas presents are up there. Yes, of course, Christmas presents. The top present children want this Christmas is a baby brother or sister. Fair enough, but you know the rules. One in, one out. John's team, what do you think people like about the festive season?
It's like parties, Christmas parties.
Well, there's a big one. New Year people like, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about this one because 7 years ago, I cheersed with a girl, this is true, and I didn't look at her, and I didn't know you're supposed to make eye contact. And she said, that's 7 years bad sex.
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought, bullshit. And I tell you what, that powerful witch... she was bang on. So
the spell will be broken this new year.
Fingers crossed.
Sometime around June, we'll get the results in.
Do you like New Year? Do you go out or do you stay at home?
No, I never go out anymore. We've got children. We press up against the window of the pub.
And wave.
Oh, have you had a good New Year's Eve?
I had a lovely New Year once, and I remember there was this boy that I really fancied, and it was like I was kissing him for the first time, and it was like amazing. And then the clock struck midnight, and I was like, oh my God, I need to be with my friends. So I ran downstairs, and as I ran off so quickly, I dropped one of my shoes. And then I found my friends and we were all, Happy New Year. And then I was like, oh my God, my shoe's gone. And I couldn't find the boy anywhere. And then the next thing I know, the sort of people parted and the mist settled. And he was there holding my shoe, like Cinderella.
So you egged him off, you just went, cheers, mate. I thought I'd lost that. Off you go.
No, but that's a nice New Year story.
Yeah, it's lovely, but it was also a dream, Holly.
Roisin, have you had similar New Year's Eves?
No, I've not had a nice New Year's Eve like that. I don't really enjoy New Year's Eve that much. I find it quite...
A lot of pressure.
I'm single as well, and it's quite... They're kissing at, you know, midnight and stuff. I have to go and run and hide somewhere, so I don't... Otherwise, it looks like you're, like, looking, you know?
That's maybe the wrong expression to use.
The New York Jewish tailor.
I stay indoors at New Year's. Set off some fireworks. Onto a turkey's bum. Dinner and show.
I bet you party like it's 1939.
Let's have a look and see if New Year's Eve is up there. Yes! New Year's Eve! New Year's Eve can be a tough time for old people living alone, so what I like to do every year is not think about them because it's depressing. Oh. New Year's Eve celebrations come from pagans in ancient Babylonia. Last year at New Year's, my nana got so drunk, she showed everyone her ancient Babylonians. Right, fingers on buzzers. One more thing still to get. What do you think?
they like television, don't they, Jimmy? They like watching the television shows that are specially laid on. same ones every year, it seems. Like we have a lot of repeats. The only TV show that doesn't get repeated is Top of the Pops, and that's only for legal reasons. Everything the same, the Queen's speech. I mean, Christ, when she's going to go, at least we can have a different speech from someone else.
No, there's great stuff on, you know, on at Christmas.
Maybe one good thing.
All right. This morning, you do a lot of items about Christmas.
We do, yes. Right. We teach you how to make the perfect Christmas turkey. Everyone needs to know that.
To make one.
Well, yeah,
it's the head chef at Aldi does them, don't they?
Well, let's have a look at my favourite This Morning Christmas moment.
I know it's a really mad thing to say, but I don't think I realised that turkeys had testicles.
OK.
Or where they put them at Christmas when you get your
turkey. Where they put them at Christmas? Where does a turkey put its testicles at Christmas? It sounds like a joke. What's the punchline?
It's Santa's sack.
Live at 10 in the morning.
I mean, that's really deadly serious. Where do those bits
go? This is a sort of consumer point you're making. You feel like you're missing out.
They go in the gravy.
No, you never get them.
What?
The balls.
They don't have balls. They're all female turkeys.
Are they?
Yeah.
How does a turkey make another turkey?
Aren't turkeys men?
The chickens lay eggs without having sex. They just lay eggs.
Yeah.
You want to watch a bit more BBC Four?
With chickens, there's a cock that has to fertilise the egg.
No.
Yes!
Turkeys are all female. Peacocks are all male.
Because you've got the pea hen.
No, you don't.
You do. It's the
no. That's what people tell you, because they don't want you to know the truth. Because you can't handle the truth, darling. You can't handle it.
Sean, I think she might be ready for the truth. I'll tell you the truth. Okay. Turkey testicle. You know chicken nuggets from McDonald's? Back to Christmas TV and away from turkey testicles. John, do you like Christmas TV? What's your favourite?
I liked The Snowman and the Snow Dog.
I loved that. Did you cry?
For different reasons. But what's weird is that telly used to be the thing and then there were sometimes adverts, but now adverts are the thing and you put up with telly to get to the new advert. And in the old days, they had Morecambe and Wise and now we have John Lewis taking an old song and taking everything that was good out of it and someone just slightly whispers it as if it's just someone sat next to you on the bus telling you the lyrics of a song that you used to love and then they sell you some shit.
You're gonna go with the John Lewis ad. The John Lewis ad's amazing. It's an emotional roller coaster.
The one that caught me out is the Sainsbury's one this year because it's all different people having their Christmas and there's one guy who goes, I like Christmas, I like to do it properly, so this is my Christmas spreadsheet. And I thought, yeah, that's my guy. And then the next clip is him on his own eating his Christmas dinner going, Merry Christmas. Shit, that's my guy.
The Christmas ad I find puzzling is the M&S one with Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to shift clothes, you don't get her on. She looks like she's been fly-tipped in a charity shop doorway, doesn't she?
Let's have a look and see if it's up there. Yes, Christmas TV. I wish Ant and Dec would stop doing those Morrison's adverts. They're misleading. I've looked everywhere in Morrison's and I can't find kangaroo anus anywhere. At the end of that round, it's 2 points to Sean's team and 1 point to John's team.
Why is this called 8 out of 10 cats?
I ain't seen one cat on it.
No,
I don't think it's about cats, isn't it? 8 out of 10 categories.
Yeah, I mean,
categories. Oh, now I get it.
8 out of 10 cats said...
Meow.
No. 8 out of 10 cats... Well, they don't talk. 8 out of 10 owners said their cats preferred it. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, I know that.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I wasn't sure. But 8 out of 10 cats...
go meow.
So our next round is Figure the Polls. Sean Henning and Roisin first. What do you like the look of?
Oh, is it the carol singers?
OK, all right, here's your question. Most people prefer Christmas carols to Christmas pop songs. True or false?
Well, if they've got any sense, they do.
Here's
Christmas carols much better than them pop songs.
Yeah, but you can't really party to them, you know, sort of, you can't have a last dance, like, let's Christmas, you know, away in a manger.
No, it's a right old laugh, honestly, it's a right knees up. So you go, oh, Tannenbaum, wie grün sind deine Blätter, du grünst nicht nur zur Sommerzeit, nein, auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. Oh, Tannenbaum, wie grün sind deine Blätter. Now, that was every bit as good as that Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer Wham. I'm sticking with Wham.
Yeah. What's interesting about Christmas carols is they stopped writing them about 130 years ago. It's just went, that's hot, we've got enough. And I think that happened with Christmas pop songs as well. It's a point in the sort of early 80s when we don't need any more. We don't need any more. We've got enough.
There's no good new ones.
What's the, yeah, what was the last? The last one was like E17, oh, and yeah, that's nothing to do with Christmas. Yeah.
Christmas I Come by Enya Kamosi and Chakademus.
What's how's that go, John?
Early 90s, I would say.
What's it called?
Christmas I Come. And everybody have fun.
How does it go? Give us a little bit of...
Sing us a bit more.
Well, Christmas time, watch the gold and a bubble and a wine, them a bubble and a bubble and a bubble and a wine. Come now, all the oak and you love Christmas. How many more? That one.
Yeah, that's
it. Sean, what about carols? Do you like carols?
Yeah, everyone likes carols, don't they? They love it.
Carols are dreadful. They're a horrible noise. I mean, about a pop song, if someone sings a pop song badly, it's still all right, isn't it? But a carol song badly, children singing.
No, it's always oh, nice.
All that
carol's
whining
in the right
drivel.
Place.
They only send them to old people's homes just to wipe a few out. The pensions crisis is getting too much. They should send a load of kids and go, and just old people just die of the despair.
It is always, it depends on who sings them, isn't it? Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, alles schläft.
Just stop for a second. I want you to imagine a trench about there.
Because what you refer to is obviously a Christmas truce during World War I when the British soldiers were singing the English version, the German soldiers were singing the correct version, and and that was that feel of peace and community and shared experience. That, and that is what only Christmas carols give you.
Yeah, but who won the football match? They played football, didn't they?
I think football was the winner.
Yes.
What do you think the nation prefer then, John?
I can't. I'm
carols.
Certain it's pop
do
songs.
You? I carols. Think it's pop songs.
I don't like any of them. Mistletoe and Wine. That's sinister.
Why is it sinister?
Well, it's someone coming at you with the two. Mistletoe, drinking the wine, smelling of the wine, leering in at you,
like
spilling a bit
really
of wine
is.
On your dress. Come on, what's the matter with you? Frigid?
Okay, so you're going to go, what are you going, John?
I'm outvoted. They like pop songs.
We're going to go pop songs.
You're going pop songs?
Carols.
Carols.
We're going
carols. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, it was very close, but the answer is false. Only 49% of people prefer Christmas carols.
Oh!
Yeah.
Pop songs. Constantine, what do you like to look of?
The big gold house with all the lights on it.
OK. What Trinity Close in Somerset has been labelled the most festive street in Britain after it was decorated with over 100,000 fairy lights. So we asked our studio audience, would you complain if your neighbours covered their house in Christmas lights, yes or no? This is what they did.
Wow.
They're bonkers.
I'd love that if that was next door to me.
I'm going to make a complaint.
It.
Who do you complain to, them? Or the council.
Would you complain?
I mean, that, putting up all them lights, the first thing I would do is call the police. I would have them A, arrested, and then checked up here. Because what's them? That is essentially that saying, oh, look, we're ever so pious. It's not even we're ever that so pious. It's more like we're ever so full of ourselves. And we're putting all them lights
that's
up.
That's my
that
bloody
is,
house,
that is exactly. That is the same sort of people that would go on a walk and then demand money because they're going on a walk and would claim it's for charity. It's exactly that sort of people. It's that mindset. They're forcing their own stupid idea of world onto other people. I hate them. I want them shot.
Wasn't one word I disagreed with there, Henning. Me and you, together.
OK. People put a lot of work into their decorations, none more so than these guys. Have a look at this house.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like Debbie Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street and my new freak, yeah. This is how I roll, animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big-ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Girl, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out. I'm sexy and I know it.
Check it out.
I still would call the police, but I would have to give them some grudging respect because it is, in a way, hilarious.
I like the idea that inside there's just a little old man eating a boiled egg.
John, do you put up the decorations yourself?
Abso-friggin-lutely, mate. All over the house. Absolutely. It's like decommissioning Sellafield, going to bed in my house. Shut everything down and have rooms sealed off. I can't pay my electric bill, but I'm having a bloody good time.
Roisin, do you put up Christmas decorations? I mean, you seem to be wearing some this evening.
Yes. I really love this. It's my favourite thing. I put up Christmas decorations badly, and I don't like trees that are sort of sparse. I hate, like, posh trees. You know, someone puts on, like, one sort of fake, like, ancient...
Yeah, when they try and be classy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want tinsel.
Yeah.
Like Christmas tree, if you go around some people's houses, they've got no tinsel.
I like
tinsel.
No, exactly. My wife won't have it in the house. I like tinsel.
I don't.
It's the only thing I like about
Christmas.
You don't
like tinsel? I don't like
tinsel. It's a lovely thing in March as well, when you just see a little bit of tinsel out the back of your cap. Oh, I remember that. You pulled that out a little bit.
Kill it.
Whoa. OK, let's get some answers. So, would you complain if your neighbours cover their house in Christmas lights, yes or no?
No. Tis the season to be, Johnny.
What do you think? Would they complain?
Henning gave our answer.
Oh.
Yes, we would.
OK, I can tell you the answer is no. 83% of our audience would not complain if their neighbours cover their house in Christmas lights. At the end of that round, Sean Henning and Roisin have 2 points, John Holly and Alan have 3 points. OK, next up, we've got a very special Christmas bonus round. Please welcome our very own Father Christmas, Joe Wilkinson. Why are you dressed as the Easter Bunny?
I'll be honest with you, I went to get the Santa outfit like you asked, but they were like 40 quid. Not made of money. This was 20 quid, so, you know. Well, actually, I'll be honest with you, Jim, if you hadn't brought it out, no one would have noticed.
What? Why the dogs? Why have you got two massive dogs?
Any idea how hard it is to get reindeers in South London?
I believe you've got some questions for us.
Oh, yes. You might have to hold one.
All right, yeah, lovely.
Can you hold lavender? That's lavender, that's Gus.
Sure. Do you want to... question away?
Yeah.
OK, do you want me to take them?
Yeah, go on.
Sure.
They are absolutely hammered.
You don't look at ease.
Oh, no, I feel fine. I'm absolutely fine.
I should point out, Jimmy, they're incredibly strong. Right, so what we do, we're going to ask each. Oh, Holly. Absolutely incredible.
Should we? Is your mum around to look after the dogs?
Mum.
Hi, Okay, bonus round, Joe, you're on the questions.
Oh, yes, right. So what we do, I'm going to ask both teams a question. Sean's question first. And if you get it right, you win a special prize. So can we bring out the special prize, please? Thank you. Very kind. Your special prize, Sean, you have the chance to win the world's longest can of Oxtail soup. I should point out I could only afford one glamorous assistant. That's just a dentist. Right, Sean, your question is, true or false, if a fat old man in a red suit really did climb down your chimney in the middle of the night while your family slept, would he be convicted of breaking and entering and be sentenced to a maximum of 6 years in prison?
I'd say true. True?
Yeah. It's false! Take it away! Oh. He would be done for trespassing because he did not steal anything, you idiot! What a weird man. Okay, John!
That was a trick question. I have to protest.
So I didn't understand what you said. OK. Let's see what John's team can win tonight. Bring it out! John has the chance to win the world's second longest can of Oxtail soup. Right, John, your question is, if when you are drunk, you decide to open all the pretend presents under the Christmas tree in the Beehive pub in Swindon, like my friend Lloyd did last Christmas, will the landlord A, push him over a bar stool, or B, call him an anus?
Likely to push over the bar stool then.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Bar stool.
Yeah, bar stool.
It's correct! You win the second longest can of Oxtail soup!
Ladies and gentlemen, Father Christmas, Joe Wilkinson! So the winner is the name of our final round. Here's your question. Hardest New Year's resolution to keep?
Is it not saying the?
Do you keep New Year's resolutions?
Never. I never really make them because I know that I'm not going to... Like, I always think, oh, I'll try and be healthier and do more exercise, and I never do. I just can't do it.
Yeah, and you've piled on the pounds, if I may say so.
Thanks.
Ironically. Fucking hell, that's why I don't talk to women. Try and have a little, ha-ha, you're not fat. I didn't mean you were fat when I said you were.
Don't talk about them.
Don't talk about
talk
them.
Talk to them, don't talk about them.
I talked to her and look what happened.
No, but you're talking about them.
Talk to you.
Whatever.
You know what my New Year's resolution is? Be more chivalrous to feminists.
Let me
carry those dumbbells.
Chivalrous just means good, just being polite. All feminists like people to be polite. It's good manners.
They don't like it. They just don't hate men.
You're a feminist.
I'm not.
That's like, saying you're not a feminist is like saying you're not a racist.
How dare you call me a feminist?
Of course you're a feminist. You're a feminist. You're a feminist.
I never touch one.
You have to be a feminist.
Oh, why? What have I done?
Because you believe in equal rights for women.
What? Henny, New Year's resolutions, have you got any?
Yeah, I've almost got the same. Don't get a heart attack.
Good resolution.
On more than one occasion, I've managed to. the thing about New Year's resolution is a bit of a strange one, isn't it? It's just the reverse of the Santa wish list, isn't it? Santa wish list says, I want loads of chocolate. And then yes, there's a looseness. Oh, I wish I hadn't eaten all that chocolate. So essentially, if you have got your expectation and needs under control, you don't really need a New Year's resolution because you stay on top of your life anyway. That's essentially like...
Alternatively, you could stop shouting easy life at airport firemen. You think, you only have about one fire every 10 years. What a job that is. They should make them do something else.
They can't even repair cars, can they? Because you can't get on with a car onto the airfield.
I've never seen a fireman repair cars.
Well, they don't do it in public. They obviously do that in their hangar.
This really genuinely feels like Christmas now. People just talking shite.
You're telling me you didn't know about firemen repairing cars?
What about you, Jimmy? Do you have New Year's resolutions?
New Year's resolutions. Mm. I had one a couple of years ago, which was I genuinely had a New Year's resolution, which was to take up drinking. Because I hadn't had a drink in about 10 years.
Really?
And I thought, I should probably take up drinking again.
How did you get on with that?
That was an awesome New Year's Day. It was amazing.
If I hadn't drunk for 10 years, I'd just spend a lot of time just weeping, going, all those years I wasted.
And you'd remember every second of it as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can remember a lot of stuff. It's annoying.
Horrific.
Now, Mint Baileys, I don't remember a fucking thing.
I drink Mint Baileys.
Is that because you got Mint Baileys? Out?
You're like an 85-year-old lady.
I'm a big eggnog man as well.
Oh, God!
I love an eggnog.
What is eggnog made of? And obviously eggs, I know, but what's the other bit?
What's the nog?
I've never had it.
Well, a
I've
nog is
it.
A
I know
nut,
they do it. You
it?
Can have, like, an eggnog Starbucks or whatever it is, and you're like, well, I don't even know what that is.
To be fair, you don't nog anything else, do you? You only nog an egg. What eggs have done
that?
Bacon nog.
You can put the word bacon next to anything and I'll still eat it.
You know what I've always wanted to do? I always wanted to start using wishing wells for good rather than evil. See, Sean, why don't you wish something good? And I think this year, when I use a wishing well, I wish for something good, but I always wish for bad things. The power. And it's hard to resist. And then every time I flick it over, I go, wish something good. And then at the last minute, as the coin's flying through the air before it hits the water, I go,
So let's get some answers on this hardest New Year's resolution to keep.
Smoking.
Exercise.
Exercise, yeah.
It's linked to that.
Food.
Losing
eating.
Weight.
Eating.
Losing weight is the right answer. Henning got it. Well, that sound tells me it's the end of the round and the end of the show, which means the final scores are Sean Henning and Roisin have 3 points, John, Holly and Alan have 3 points. It's a draw. Everyone's a winner. OK, to play us out, please welcome Mick Helm. Nick, what have you got for us?
Going to do a song.
Right, OK, well, away you go.
Who's your daddy? Yes, it's me. Yeah, I'm the one who put all of your gifts under the tree. I took 3 jobs to buy that bike. Your scale, electric set and all the other shit you like. Well, looky what you got for pops. Half a pound of peanuts and some itchy woolen socks. It's time you heard you're 6 years old. Consider yourself lucky that you're getting more than gold. Hey, Johnny, I got some news for you.
Oh, my God, his belly's hanging out.
Yes.
Wobbling.
Hey, Johnny, I got some news for you. There ain't no fucking Santa Claus. There ain't no fucking Santa Claus. There ain't no fucking. I drank his sherry, ate his pie. I ate the carrot too, there's no such thing as that fat guy. You ain't been grateful, you ain't been good. I've had it up to here, so let's get one thing understood. Hey Johnny, I got some news for you. Hey Johnny, I've got some news for you. There ain't no fucking Santa Claus. There ain't no fucking Santa Claus. There ain't no fucking Santa Claus.
Everyone, Nick Helm!
Ain't no fucking Santa Claus! I love it.
That was really good.
That's it from us. We'll be back on Friday with a new series of 8 out of 10 Cats Just Countdown. Good night. Welcome to 8 out of 10 Cats, a show about opinion polls, surveys and statistics. Did you know, for example, 30% of people would consider moving abroad after a holiday? I read about two girls who recently went on holiday to Peru and they liked it so much they're staying for 6 to 8 years. 20% of travellers claim to be members of the Mile High Club. I once had a near miss on a flight to Thailand. Sorry, not near miss. Pre-op transsexual. And 23% of Brits have never visited France, which means they've never experienced the thrill of sitting in a cafe on the Champs-Élysées and being put off their croissant by the sight of a woman's hairy armpits and the smell of dog shit. Right, let's get started. What are you talking about? That's the name of our first round. It's our panellist's job to guess the British public's top five most popular talking points. Sean's team, what do you think the nation have been talking about this week?
Strictly Come Dancing has started again.
It's back on. It's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. It's massive. Although, the lineup is a bit... Well, I think most of them should bring a utility bill. I don't know who they are.
I thought there were huge stars on there.
Who?
With Vanessa Feltz. You did that. Yeah. I said
no. No, I did that as well. I've been locked in a house with Vanessa Feltz. I can testify.
Of course.
Yeah, I did.
When you did Celebrity Big Brother.
I did Comic Relief Big Brother in 2001 with Vanessa Feltz, and she is she's nuts.
How long did you last in that, Jack?
I was in the whole week. I won it, of course.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
charm
that.
Charm and personality that shines through. You captured the nation's heart.
Exactly. People just sort of warmed to me. And,
I think people kept you in because they knew it would irritate you.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, do you think maybe she just said, like, I'll come and do the show, but I'm just not going to do too much because I'm a bit heavy?
Yeah. Do you mean like serious or what do you?
No, I mean like seriously.
Oh no, you're being incredibly bitchy. Okay, great.
No! I didn't realise
where you were going with this, but no, I'm with you.
You can't go, no. You just called her fat. And you go,
I didn't. I didn't.
You used another word.
I didn't. Because I'm just saying she hasn't danced much, and to me, if you're going on a dancing show, you should dance.
In your defence, she came on my show at the start of the year, Let's Dance, and she said, I'm not going to dance. And literally, I don't know if you saw it, we lowered her from the ceiling onto a gigantic 8-foot-long cannon with her legs spread-eagled in a sequin leotard.
Is that the only way you could get her in the building?
David O'Doherty, would you go on the show?
I was just trying to think of what it would require for me to watch it first. It would require either a baking element or a crystal meth element. The ultimate TV show would be a combination of bake, so like the Great British Breaking Bad off, where they'd all cook meth, but then the judging would take ages.
John, would you do Strictly?
No, I don't dance. The only dance I do is YMCA. That's more spelling than dancing.
Sean, presumably you're pretty... I mean, you watch the show. Would you go on the show? Would you go on Strictly?
Well, you know, if... if my whole career fell apart in tatters, and had really no option and a lot of tax bills to pay and the situation...
No, I actually didn't mean that.
I mean, you only go on it if your career has reached a certain point. Basically, okay. you have to throw yourselves up into the sort of, like, tides of popularity and hope you get washed up on a beach, not smashed to pieces on the rocks.
Right, then, well, on that note, Jamelia, would you do it?
Stop.
What?
Honest to God, I get asked to do it every single year and just hell no.
It's one of the two biggest shows on TV, so,
but
I mean, it's...
Do you know the stupid amounts of money they offer you to do that show?
How much did they offer?
No, they're like
ridiculous.
I mean, ridiculous
what,
amounts of money. You can buy a house, put it that way.
And yeah, but you live in Birmingham. No. Yeah. Let's have a look and see if Strictly is up there. Yes, indeed, Strictly Come Dancing has started again. In the first episode of this series of Strictly, everyone agreed Abby Clancy stole the show. Typical Scouser. OK, well, let's just have a brief musical interlude while John shows us his dancing.
Right. Made to dance. I'll dance on my own in my kitchen. And that is a girl. I was at a wedding the other week and a girl kept going, oh, why don't you go and have a dance? I said, I don't want to dance. She went, are you boring? And I went, yeah, and you're talking to me.
John's team, what do you think the nation have been talking about?
It's got to be Ed Miliband.
Ed Miliband. Go on, tell me the story.
Well, the story is that the Daily Mail have... I think, personally, they've pretty much created a Batman. The Daily Mail are the Joker, and they've shot Ed Miliband's parents in front of him, specifically his father, by saying that he's a Marxist who hates Britain. And Ed Miliband has gone apeshit crazy over it.
I don't think Ed Miliband is capable of going apeshit crazy.
Let me tell you, if he is Batman, he needs to do something. He needs to fight fire with fire, because you can't win a war of words with the Daily Mail. He needs to go down to where the Daily Mail is made. He needs to wait for the journalist who printed the story to leave the building. Then he needs to beat the shit out of him.
I think the most frightening thing is that the Daily Mail have possibly run out of living people to hate. So now they've had to move on to the deceased. And soon they're going to be done with all of them, so they're going to have to just move on to fictional characters. I mean, oh, look at Pooh Bear just lounging around 100-acre wood. Broken Britain, honey.
Jack, what do you make of Ed Miliband's father being slagged off in the Daily Mail?
I think it's, like a lot of people, I think it's pretty awful. Ed's dad is a lot similar, a lot in common with my dad, because Ralph Miliband fled Belgium to escape the Nazis.
Right.
My dad fled Belgium to escape Belgium. He was there, he wasn't enjoying it, so he had to... he got on one of the last boats out. He was one of the lucky ones. But, no, it is, it's true. Everyone... Stop staring at me. Don't...
I suppose until you've been to Belgium, you don't realise how much you do love this country.
Vinnie Jones is one of the few people who's Vinnie Jones left the country. He lives in America now. Don't turn your back on me. Just be normal. Just be a normal human for a change.
Look up there. Is everyone happy with that?
But if you were...
That just seems rude.
Sean was staring at me. I felt like a bit of fresh meat in a prison, and he's an old-timer. Weighing me up.
Jamelia, if someone slagged off your dad...
I didn't even...
Well, the thing is...
is this your personal space? Am I invading it? Is that what it is?
It's weird, Sean. I don't know.
If someone slagged off my dad, I don't care, because he's a knob. So,
Can I just say Sean is now taking the piss?
No, I just thought while Jamelia's talking, I'll look at Jack.
No.
Jack's talking, I'll look at Jamelia.
That's right.
Where do I look?
book? It's Can someone behavior. Get me a book or something to look out for?
See the way John is over there, just perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, look at that.
Be a bit more like me, mate.
Mm. Totally relaxed.
I'm annoyed that we didn't get to slag Vinnie Jones off. Because
Well,
really
Vinnie
is a
Jones,
prick,
yeah, he's another great academic, of course, who's left the country.
Why did he leave the country then?
Because he says he doesn't like Britain anymore, it's not what it used to be. He's gone to live in America.
But his argument about Britain was that he said, if you landed me at Heathrow now in a blindfold and took it off, I wouldn't know which country I was in. If you landed in Vinnie Jones's kitchen and had a blindfold on and took it off, you wouldn't know which country you're in, because he's still eating English food, probably in an English house. I bet he's got football tops on his wall. I bet he's still got Sky Sports. And you can say what you like, because if he finds out about it, it's because he's watching this show, so he's watching English TV, so he's a fucking dick.
Well, actually, I've met him and... Yeah, no,
I read
much.
That, Jimmy, and it's... because he's Vinny, as you rightly point out, Vinny said, if you blindfold me, put me on an aeroplane and landed in Britain, I wouldn't know where I was. And I felt like saying, well, that's what blindfolds are for. that means it's worked, Vinny.
Yeah. OK, let's see if the male Miliband row is up there. Yes, Ed Miliband is at war with the Daily Mail over an article attacking his father. It begs the question, why did the Daily Mail hate Ralph Miliband so much? He was a Marxist academic, not a black Romanian disabled single mum on benefits. Sean Stein, what else did the Nation be talking about?
What do you think, Jack? Just hurry.
Jack! What do you think, Jack?
America, probably. America?
Yeah, America.
It's a huge story, go on.
The American budget. They can't pass a budget. Loads of state-run organisations, departments have had to close because they can't be currently funded.
Loads of things. So tourist destinations have closed as well. So the Statue of Liberty's closed, the Grand Canyon, Alcatraz, museums...
How did they close the Grand Canyon? They put a tarpaulin over it.
I think it's just a massive zip. It just goes zip. Nothing to see, move on.
Statue of Liberty's just sat down with a cigarette.
All of these things, can't you see them from a distance anyway? I don't really see what the, you know.
You're not even allowed to look at them, even if you cast a glance at the Statue of Liberty, you're a scab.
Especially with my crazy googly eyes. The worst story I heard was on death row. Guys are having to electrocute themselves by the broom handle. They're all stacked in there.
I tell you what I don't like about the situation, I do actually know something about it, is the fact that they're fighting. I know you're quite shocked. But they're not fighting, but, well, it is kind of fighting. Whoever it is, Republicans, are they the opposite?
What was the thing you knew about it?
So Obama is trying to pass Obamacare, which is kind of like an NHS.
Yes.
So basically, the Republicans, they just want people to die. They're like, you know, they do.
This is the nub of it, okay? So there are 44 million Americans unable to get health insurance.
Yeah.
And if you don't have insurance and you visit the emergency room in America, it'll cost the average person $1,200.
Well, so, well, if you're pregnant and you haven't got health insurance, you need to go to the hospital, they knock the baby back in with a mallet. If anyone needs healthcare, it's Americans, isn't it? Because they are unhealthy. Most of them have got four buttocks, haven't they? When they eat shit, I mean, their blood doesn't pump around the system, they squeeze it around like pate.
I'm looking forward to the film, because like, they made films about 9/11, they do films about everything in America, don't they? So there'll be like a film called Shut Down. It's like Ryan Gosling in New York going, those sons of bitches closed down every public toilet in the northeast side of the city. I gotta take a shit.
I think the supreme irony of it is, I don't mind if I'm the one who happened to point it out, but I think the supreme irony of it all, and I hope I'm quoted in generations to come for this observation I'm going to make.
But a hush, please.
It's called the land of the free, but nothing is free.
Let's have a look and see if it's up there. John Stein, what else have the Nation been talking about?
The Tory party conference.
You people and your Tory party conference.
Who are they for? Who are political conferences for? The only people interested in this are on the stage or in the audience, frantically clapping. Imagine if you said something at a political party conference and it didn't get a round of applause. You would be so... Like, you can say a burrito in the middle of the day is quite heavy. Everyone's like, ah! True!
But even with that, like, it's just... It's gentle applause, isn't it? It's not, like, mad. Cos the papers have been saying, oh, it's Cameron, it wasn't an amazing reception. And you think, well, it was a Tory party conference. They're not renowned for people getting their tits out and, like, spraying beer everywhere. At best, it's going to be Tories going, yes, I think that's probably a bloody good idea.
Can we have a little look at the Tories in action? This is David Cameron giving his speech.
In his speech last week, Ed Miliband promised that he would never be photographed with his shirt off in public. And Ed, after hearing that speech, here's the deal. You keep your shirt on, I'll keep the lights on.
What's he saying, though? He's saying to Ed Miliband, you keep your shirt on and I'll turn the lights...
On.
I'll turn the lights on. So, is he saying he wants to see him naked or not? It's a really mixed message, is what I'm saying.
Ed Miliband had said there was a shots of him on the holiday, beach, yeah. And he said, yeah, you won't ever see me with my shirt off, you know, trying to promote myself as some kind of relaxed individual. And he's saying, yeah.
Let's have a look at Cameron topless.
You notice he's not looking directly at Jack there. That's Jack standing with his hands on his hips on the beach.
The other thing they kept saying again and again, hard-working people. For hard-working people, well, you know, what, how about a party for people who can't be arsed? You know? like most of the rest of us, because most of us don't actually want to have to work very hard. That's the whole point. I mean, and there are an awful lot of us out there. You think about it, there must be loads of people who aren't hard-working. Loads of people, oh, God. The bloke who operates Tower Bridge... That goes up and down once a week or something, doesn't it? He's sitting there, picks up the phone, what? Oh, I did that again. Oh. Oh, OK, there you go.
Have they won you over this week, Steve?
I will say that Cameron is a wily minx. He was interviewed and asked how much a loaf of bread is. And he said, actually, I wouldn't know, I make my own. And then they said to him, how much is a pint of milk? And he said, don't need it, Sam's pregnant again.
What was that knocking sound on him?
No, that was the suction cup. Oh,
I see. I thought she was like Pinocchio.
Have you never milked a woman before, John?
I think, Steve, if I'm not very much mistaken, two guys have taken advantage of you. Why do we have to have the lights off?
Good answer, that, I thought. Because politicians, every year, some politician will get caught up with, oh, how much is a flump? How much is a bag of flumps these days? And obviously, none of them can say, I'm running the country, someone gets my milk, all right? I've got shit to do, I don't buy milk.
The person that wasn't flummoxed by that question was, of course, Boris Johnson. Take a look at this.
You're the question... man who wants to reduce the top rate of tax to 40p in the pound, don't you?
Yeah, I'm also the man who cut council tax year after year in London, and which helps every household.
Do you even know the cost of a pint of milk?
And about 80p or something like that.
No, it's about 40-something p.
One of those biggish ones.
This is a classic Boris, isn't it? You're going to change now the sort of milk. I said a pint of milk.
All right, a pint of milk. OK, about 40. Well, there you go. I don't know how much a pint of milk costs. So what?
Well, don't you think you should if you're concerned about the cost of living?
How much is a loaf of bread?
I'm not standing for election. You are.
The thing I like about that is the next time he's being interviewed and that comes up, they go, how much is a pint of milk? He's going to go, oh, shit, I knew I meant to remember.
You've been to a Tory party conference, haven't you, Jamelia?
Yeah. Honestly, it was the most boring thing ever. Every single, like, they had all these, like, meetings in different rooms, and I was like, I don't care what you've got to say. It was so boring. And then that man from Queen with the hair, you know, what's his name?
Brian May.
Yeah. I swear, he came up to me and he was like, look, Jamelia, I would love you to support my cause. He wanted me to save some badgers. I was like, I swear.
Let's see if the Tory party conference is up there.
Good
Yes, the Tory party conference. The conference started with a short film about Margaret Thatcher, which got a standing ovation. To be fair, it has got a brilliant ending. OK, fingers on buzzers, one more thing to go. What else have the nation been talking about?
Is it the case that the Jackson family have tried to sue the promoter?
AEG, yes, the promoters of the concert.
Who hired Conrad Murray, and they lost.
So the Jackson family tried to sue AEG for $1.6 billion in damages.
And I was really pleased when this story came up, because I always think, Michael Jackson, it's the death that keeps on giving. For comics, you know, for comics, it's just great, because you can just come up, as soon as any story with him, you go, brilliant, we can do all the Jackson jokes again. Get them out. I think comedians should actually build a statue, a monument to him, just to say thanks.
Can I just clarify, are they suing the production company, whatever it's called, for murder?
No, they were suing the production company because they hired the doctor that administered the drugs that killed Michael Jackson.
Kind of murder.
The best
not,
story is...
Not kind of murder, kind no, of. No. Remember what I just said? It was that, not murder.
Sort of murder. They call it quite murder.
What happened was that the production company provided Michael Jackson with a doctor who then provided Michael Jackson with a huge array. I mean, they found something like 78 different types of drugs in his bedroom when he was dead, when they looked. And the most worrying of them was Calpol. And,
or his own personal favourite, Rahipsy Licks. A lot of them were sedatives and relaxants. I'm surprised he wasn't carried around in liquid form. In a tank, like, just sloshing around. I guess his mic all ready for his next rehearsal. We just pour him out onto the stage.
But the sad thing is, a lot of people did
just
kind of know...
He just keeps giving! Thanks, Michael!
Not easy being Michael Jackson's doctor, though, because, you know, you ring out and go, ow, 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 what's the matter, Michael? I'm rehearsing, I'm fine.
Oh, come on.
Say thank you to Michael for that.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Thankfully, thankfully not for the Jackson family, but they lost, didn't they, to AEG?
Yeah.
They lost their case. And I was thinking, what would AEG have done if the Jackson family had won? They owed them £1.6 billion. The only way they could make that money back, I think, is by digging up Jacko's corpse and doing, like, a Weekend at Bernie's thing. Like a...
We've got the operator right here if you want to give it.
But that's what I thought when I heard the case, because when you hear these cases, you think, oh, £1.6 billion, you think, well, it won't bring him back, will it? And I thought, that almost could. That's that almost enough money to reanimate Michael Jackson, I think. You get the right people involved, $1.6 billion, you could have a bloody good go with that.
He was on so many sedatives, it's possible that he's not even dead. He's just... He'll open it up and he'll... Let's go.
You think Michael Jackson might just need to sleep it off? Someone should go and check on him. It's not a bad thought.
They got rid of his statue, didn't they, up at Fulham. Alf, I had invited him to a football match and he went to see Fulham versus Wigan. I like the idea that Alf, I had rang him up and said... Yeah, is that Michael? Yeah, who's that? It's Al Fayed. And he says, do you want to go for a football match? What, who's playing? Wigan. Yeah.
Because new owners bought Fulham, they took the statue down, and it's a bit like, you know, when you move into a new house, and you think, well, the first thing is going is that avocado bathroom. We're going to get rid of that pebble dashing. And the statue of the paedophile out the front. That's the...
What are we doing? What are we doing looking up? Yes, thanks, Michael. Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Well, I can tell you that's not one of the most talked about things this week, but promoters of Michael Jackson's ill-fated tour have been found not guilty in a lawsuit brought by the Jackson family. The Jackson family claimed that AEG had ignored signs that Michael was in poor health. Little telltale signs, like when his face fell off. Fingers on buzzers, one more thing to get.
It must be the return of the X Factor, which is why Kurt Cobain killed himself. But it's different now because there's chairs.
The chairs are good, aren't they?
Oh, I love a chair, mate. Don't like the singing or any of the people involved, but those chairs, I was gripped. Is someone going to sit on it? Oh,
it's added a new level of cruelty.
It's horrendous.
I think they should have chairs and nooses. So... so you have to stand on a chair with a noose around your neck and then Dermot O'Leary just comes and kicks it away from you.
So, John, just explain to us what happens with the chairs, just in case anyone hasn't seen it.
So, what happened is the people who've all been voted through...
What we do now is we've got down to the list where there's a shy gay one and there's the girl who egged off her mates who clearly wanted to be famous and was never her mates anyway, a thin man and a fat one. There's the Irish one as well and the novelty shit one. They're all there. That musical chairs, there's seven of them, but there's only six chairs. So, instead of taking them back and breaking their hearts, they put them on chairs and they break their hearts live on camera.
Pretty awesome. But you mentioned there the novelty one. There isn't a novelty one this year. They're all brilliant. Take a look at this.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, don't you know that I got it? All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come home. Hey, baby, when you come home.
That's good.
That guy is.
Did he get through?
I think he's great.
Did he get through?
Did he get through?
No, he didn't. He didn't get through because he yodeled.
That is someone who has got mates who said, "Yeah, I think you should yodel right in the middle of it."
Now you presented Steve the American version of X Factor. Were they crazier than ours? Were they saner?
I've never actually seen ours, not once.
You've never seen the British version?
Well, no. I went over there and I thought I'll just do my own thing. And then at the end of the season, they were like, "It's no."
Yeah. Well, good on you.
I mean, Dermot's a fantastic presenter, but he does what he does. I didn't want to look at what he does and go over to the States and do that. I thought, well, I'll go in there.
I think you should have, because a lot of people, Steve, me included, find you very attractive. And the thing Dermot's done...
Yeah.
The thing Dermot's done this time, and it's been on all the papers, is he's had a bit of a bulge. That's been the talking point this
year.
Where? In the papers, they said the viewing figures have gone up by 900,000 because of Dermot's bulge.
Shut up. I want to see this.
Well, have a look.
That's his mobile.
It's a phone.
Yeah, that is a phone.
No, but if you look carefully, he's charging the phone with his penis. It's a bit weird. It's behind my head like that. That feels a bit disconcerting.
Steve, when you found out it wasn't, you weren't doing any more of it. How did you find out? Who told you?
I was on my way to Runyon Canyon to go for a run. And they rang and I was in my car, said, oh, they're not picking up for season two. And I was like, cool, I'm just going to go on my run. So I did. Yeah. And that was that.
And off the cliff you went.
Now, you've been on X Factor Ukraine.
Oh, please don't show me. Certain shows, you have to understand, right? Honest to God, they gave me shitloads of money. So that's why I was there. I'm not going to lie. And just don't show anything.
No, I'm not going to show. I think if you're willing to do things you don't want to do for shitloads of money, I think you're the girl for me.
No.
I would show it, but I don't have the clip.
Oh, well. Yes.
Let's have a look and see if X Factor is up there. The new series of X Factor is underway. Dermot O'Leary says millions of extra viewers have tuned in order to see his trouser bulge. Oh, Dermot, put a sock in it. Oh, wait, hang on, you have. At the end of that round, Sean, Jack and Jamila have 2 points, John, Steve and David have 3 points. So our next round is pick of the polls. Sean, Jack and Jamila, pick a question.
The puppy.
You're going to go for the puppy, OK.
Yeah.
Most people find spending time with animals relaxing. True or false? What do you think?
Depends how much gravy there is.
Animals are not relaxing at all. I find them very stressful. I've got a little dog, which, actually, thanks for that. The last time I was on the show, I spoke about my dog, and everyone thought that I meant that I killed my previous dog. I didn't kill my previous dog. I just gave him away.
Well, now you sound like a lovely person.
No, then I got another dog, a smaller one, who does smaller poos, and that was my main issue.
Who did you give the big dog to?
I gave him to the police. Do you know what? At least I was an honest dog owner and I didn't, you know, ill-treat it. The RSPCA didn't have to come around to my house and say, you know, you're terrible, you are. I was honest and I said, I can't cope. You know, you can't do that with children, but, you know, you can do it.
Jack, do you find animals relaxing?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Have you got any pets?
I have pets, yeah.
What have you got?
I've got two dogs, two Dachshunds. Find them relaxing to be around.
That's not a dog.
Yeah, don't you diss the Dachshund.
That's not a dog.
It is. It's like a sawn-off Doberman.
Yeah. I had a very relaxing summer with animals because I was paid by the government to shoot badgers. Very relaxing. Knowing every time I pulled that trigger, that was another 100 quid in the bank.
I need to know how to kill moles. There's loads of moles.
They call me the go-to guy. This is what you do. You don't need to kill them. Oh. You need to get them to visit somewhere else. What you do is put books in your neighbour's garden. And they come up, and go, ooh, a lovely book. Yeah. They put their little glasses on. They'll read.
Apparently, there's a time of year when badgers mate, and if you are walking through a badgery part of the woods, you're advised to carry a stick, because if the badger grabs your leg, it won't release till it hears the crack of bone. So you have to get the stick and break it over your knee. And the badger hears that and goes, ha-ha, and runs off. But how could you possibly not be holding a stick and not go, fuck off, badger?
Steve, you've got a dog, right?
I have two dogs, yes. Very, very relaxing beasts.
Do you like them?
I love them, yeah. I mean, I wish they'd grow, so, like, opposable thumbs, so... You know, I get a bit tense back here, or maybe like a candle if I'm in the bath.
I feel like you spend a lot of time tickling their tummies and getting them relaxed, and then they don't.
Exactly. I'm cleaning up all their shit, and I'm not getting much from it.
Well, I've got a picture of your dog.
Have you?
Because your Twitter feed.
Hey, that's my boy.
He is adorable. And you would think if I had a dog like that, oh my God, you'd love him. He's so adorable. Steve, not a good owner. Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Meant to wash him in the sink.
Yeah.
Don't try that at home.
I didn't switch it on.
Is that the day you found out about the X Factor job?
So the question is, most people find spending time with animals relaxing. Let's put it to the test. John, I've got a little treat for you. Let's bring on a little puppy. There he is. She's a little mastiff. That's just a puppy. I think she's only 12 weeks old. Which size are those paws?
That's just their tastiest, isn't it?
Have a little stroke. What... Is that not the most adorable creature?
Oh, my God. Green eyes.
Huh? Nice. Green eyes. It's the one from Turner and Hooch. It's exciting.
Amazing.
You can all leave now whenever you want.
So, John, I can already see you look elated and relaxed. John, do you want to take her for a little walk?
No, because she doesn't like John.
Yeah, there you go. Oh. Bring her around the front, take her for a little walk, because she's the most adorable creature.
That's Steve.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, everyone likes Steve.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hello. How are you?
Didn't think you'd let dogs on a show with cats in the title, but fair play to you.
Come on, sit him down.
So cute.
Pretty adorable, right?
Oh.
Look at that, happy little creature. Sean, you look grumpy.
I don't get it. Do not understand. But the reason I don't understand how people have animals in their homes. I don't understand that. We built homes to keep animals out. Done.
Genuinely never seen John look happier. Look at his little face. It's almost cuter than the dog. John, we're going to have to say goodbye to the puppy.
You're going to have to hand...
No, we're not going to do a Jamelia.
I have a feeling this is the calm before some desperate, desperate storm now. Meet the only great white shark currently living on land in Britain.
We've got brilliant handlers in today for all the animals. I say all the animals.
Oh, God.
No, because we got you a puppy, so we thought it would be only fair, Sean, to get you an animal.
Oh, no.
I think you'll like it. I genuinely think you'll like it.
Oh, no. No, it's not me.
Sean, are you not?
No.
No.
Well, I'll bring him over here.
Jack.
you not? Are you genuinely?
I don't want to.
Just stick him on my neck. It's fine. Are you genuinely not keen on snakes?
No.
Is that not your thing? Sure, it won't bite me.
That python.
It's a boa constrictor.
I do know it won't.
Huh?
Go on, boa.
Really? Oh, look how it
it's amazing.
Moves.
It likes you, Jimmy, because you're cold-blooded as well.
Oh, feels like some of my shoes.
Oh, hang on. Oh, round the neck, actually. You can really feel how they do their thing. Ah. Let's see how close he gets.
Yeah,
maybe. Fine, I'm not too worried. Oh, hang on. Oh, you little flirt. That is nice. Oh, it's nice to hold something that thick and powerful.
Don't look at me.
You don't want me to look at you while I'm touching it? Would you like to have a go?
My main question is, if it kills you, will this be one of the stories on the show next week?
Pretty calm and relaxed with that. I sort of think he's amazing. I love him. Oh, my God. He gave me a look there that suggested that was not mutual.
OK.
OK, John Steam, how do you feel about spiders?
I would rather be in a different country.
Yeah.
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah.
Bring on the spider.
Really, really?
Oh. Really, you... It's a tiny little spider.
Are you kidding me?
It's just a spider.
It's just a massive spider.
Why are they being so weird about spiders? OK, just hold your hand very still. Hold it out.
Here you go. Oh, I'm going to do this.
Take a seat. Well, go on. You jump.
This is brilliant, Steve. You are taking a hit for the team here. This.
A hit of pure poison.
Just hold your hand completely still.
Nope. No. No. Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm going to do something terrible to you.
You're being incredibly brave and handsome, Steve.
Wow.
OK, we can say goodbye to the spider. Thank you, Sam. We've got expert handlers in with us today. That was incredible to see. You guys just went, you bolted when that came on.
Would you have held the spider?
The only thing I want to see with eight legs in my house is a KFC bucket. You didn't like the snake. No. You loved the puppy, didn't like the spider. Let's bring in a tiger. Can we bring on a baby tiger? Let's bring on a tiger.
Fuck me.
So we've got a lovely tiger. Sometimes if a tiger's being a little bit active.
That's an actual tiger.
That's an actual tiger.
Oh,
there you go.
God.
Hang on.
Jeez. Wow.
John, Sean, would you like to come over and have a stroke?
No.
I want
to. John?
I'm pretty close to having a stroke from over here, to be honest.
I mean, that is a massive tiger. Just see if you find this relaxing.
How old is the tiger?
So he's about 14 weeks old, and and when they get to, what, 4 months, you can no longer do this.
Oh, nice.
Just about a month. We're hoping for a month he'll still be like this.
You'll have a month like this.
It's amazing.
Oh, he loves his bottle, doesn't he? Yes, he does. So our handlers are incredibly well-trained and experienced, and I think they're going to lay down their own lives when he finishes this milk so that I'm not harmed.
Take the bottle out, see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you put your head there and I'll do that.
I like that someone somewhere has just switched on this show for the first time and gone, 8 out of 10 cats. It is about cats.
Oh. Come on, Tiger, go for a little walk. Well, thanks very much to all the animals and handlers. Give them a round of applause. OK, let's get some answers. So, most people find spending time with animals relaxing. True or false? What are you going to go for?
I think me and you would say false, but I think most people are going to say true.
Yeah.
So, what are you going, Sean? You're going true? OK, John, what would you say?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I feel relaxed.
Yeah?
I leave it in your hands.
True.
Well, I can tell you the answer is true. 72% of people do find spending time with animals relaxing. Mm-hmm. I like spending time with my favourite animal in my basement. It's a sort of centipede. I made it myself. It was a lot of work, and it's a bit messy, makes a hell of a noise, but it was worth it. John, Steve, David, pick a question.
Who's the guy in the hat?
What?
Walter White.
Walter White. Is he in Cluedo?
He's in Breaking Bad.
Ah.
Walter White off of Breaking Bad. So, this week, thousands complained about having the series finale of Breaking Bad ruined by spoilers. So we asked our studio audience, would you be angry with someone if they accidentally spoiled the end of your favourite TV show? Yes or no?
I watched the first season and then I binned it off after that. I thought it was crap.
It's a very good show. It's a brilliantly written show.
Well, according to IMDb, Breaking Bad is the second best show ever, according to audience ratings. And that's after David Attenborough's Planet Earth.
Well, they've obviously never seen Why Don't You?
Has anyone ever spoiled a TV show for you? Like something that you were into?
Yeah, they've just made them.
Some programmes, though, you know, if you... Like, you know at the end of Grand Designs they're going to be living in an office in a field. Drinking wine out of glasses this size, going... Nyum, nyum, nyum. Everything's turned out brilliant.
Porn films always end the same, don't they?
Porn films do always end the same.
They do. They always end the same with self-loathing.
A frantic grasp for tissues.
Like, oh, God, I suppose I'd better get on and cook the Christmas lunch. I emerge from behind the Christmas tree in my new slippers.
It wouldn't ruin this show if someone said, and by the way, John's team... Oh, well, there's no point in watching it now.
I know how this show's going to end. This show will end with a horrible noise, and then you'll go, that noise tells me it's the end of the round and the end of the show.
Don't ruin it. They don't know that.
To all our studio audience and to you at home for joining in. If you want more, tune in to 8 out of 10, Cats on Cut. Good night.
Right, let's get some answers on this. So, what do you think? Would people be angry if someone accidentally spoiled the end of their favourite TV show?
Yes or no? Yeah.
You guys, you in agreement?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you the answer is 84% of people would be angry with someone if they accidentally spoiled the end of their TV show. You're absolutely right. And the winner is the name of our final round. And here's your question. Top thing men worry about.
The main thing I worry about as a man is the assumption that I know more about wine than anyone else at the table. They pour a little bit always in my glass. I don't know.
Because you're the only one at the table.
There is that.
See, if you worry about anything?
Sometimes giving directions. I want to come across as if I'm very manly and I want to know that you know that, so I'm like, oh, you gotta... I need to incorporate, like, manly destinations. Oh, just go past the Red Lion, then go past the sex shop, then, like, the engine yards where I buy my engines, and you're pretty much there.
Go to the beach, that way.
David, what do you worry about?
Keeping things charged, mostly. Especially the new operating system on my phone has got, like, the percentage... So you're like, 76%. Oh! Quick, shut down things. Don't touch it. Leave it. We'll get an extra 20 minutes out of this tomorrow.
What do you think men worry about, Jamelia?
I genuinely can only think of one thing, and I don't want to say it because I just think my nan might be watching.
Well, go on, just say it. It's fine. It's late now. She's not watching this.
Whisper it to me. Whisper it to me and I'll say it.
OK. I can't even say it.
Write it down.
Or just draw a picture of one. Go on, what do you think, Jamina?
It's a nine-letter word. Premature ejaculation. Ooh, you saucy cow.
That's the only thing I can think about. Or finding out the football scores too early. So one or the other.
It's all about being early with you, isn't it?
Oh, sorry.
Penises are just a pain in the arse. They're a bit... when they're up and about, they're an inconvenience. And when they're not, they're always there, aren't they? It's better to have a thing that's in, I think.
Are you saying you'd rather have a vagina because it'd be tidier?
That's insane. That's the most insane thing you've ever said. You like things to be tidy, but you're basically saying, oh, I'd like to be castrated, because then it'd be neater. Jack, do you ever find yourself worrying?
I worry about stuff that I've done in the past, and what if it had done, you know, like, oh, what, when I was on that rowboat on holiday, what if someone had come out in a motorboat and shot me? Or... And then the next night, something else comes. What if that on the aeroplane there'd been a hijack? What would I have done?
Just say hello back.
Yeah. Oh, hijack. That's that sort of...
OK, top thing men worry about.
I think I've got it.
Great. Go on, what do you think?
Is it the size, their size?
Of their...
Of their...
No, but it is size.
No.
Getting fat.
That's the right answer. Yes, men's biggest worries are putting on weight and going grey. Either way, the solution is the same. Diet. Well, that sound tells me it's the end of the round and the end of the show, which means the final scores are Sean, Jack and Jamelia have 4 points, John, Steve and David are the winners with 7 points. Thanks to all our panelists, our wonderful studio audience and to all of you for watching at home. That's it from us. Good night. Hello, I'm Jimmy Carr and I've got a new tour. It's called Jimmy Carr Laughs Funny. Now, I think jokes are like magnets. They attract some people like my comedy, and a million of you came to see me on my last tour. Thanks very much, by the way. But like magnets, jokes attract and they repel. Some people are repelled by my sense of humour. If that's you, don't come and see me live. But if you like this kind of thing, come and see Jimmy Carr Laughs Funny. I'll be everywhere. Go to jimmycarr.com for details.